The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Вряд ли выносная.
Вот пас, это Хантер Ренфро заносит тачдаун.
Клемсон
выигрывает титул.
Да, выигрывает титул. Берет реванш за прошлый год. Какие лица, а сколько скорби. И MVP станет тот, кто из...
Watson takes a snap, rolls right, looks into the end zone. Hunter Renfro caught it! Touchdown! 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 With a second left, Watson hits Renfro, and Clemson grabs a 34-31 lead and is 1 second away from the second national championship in school history.
Here now, Watson goes right, looks to throw, has a man open, touchdown. Hunter Renfro with 1 second remaining. Touchdown, Clemson.
Well, I bet you could figure out who was making what calls there. Let's do this, man. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-3776 or ESPN, excuse me. And we will take calls today. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when everybody's usually in a bad mood, but we had a pretty damn good football game last night. We're back in studio, which
yes,
I enjoy, I have to say. I love going out and hanging with the people. It's just so much easier to do the show in here from that standpoint. But let's have some fun today. And in case you were curious, the first call was the Russian call.
Oh.
Which,
thank God that's happening now.
Oh, yeah. Putin watches college football, I guess.
I guess so. Probably controlling the outcome.
Yeah, hacking into the game and changing everything. And second call was Clemson, obviously. And the third call, where they weren't so excited.
Touchdown.
Alabama.
Renfro.
Yeah. That was, I think most people could have figured that out themselves.
Yeah.
We just threw the Russian in there to be funny.
It was a fun game to watch, though.
It was.
Like, I'm glad that I didn't bet on it because I would have been upset. I just sat there and watched the game, and it was awesome. It was a fun game. And what's funny is I almost, like about halftime, I was kicking myself because if I was going to make a play, I was going to bet under 51. And I was like, man, I really blew it by not betting this under 51.
Not so much.
And it turns out that like there was no defense in the second half.
I may stop betting entirely on games because, to be honest with you, I enjoyed that more. From just sitting there, a pure enjoyment standpoint, because I don't have a dog in the hunt.
Yeah, I still would have enjoyed it more had I bet Clemson in the over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of the catch 22 of it.
It was kind of fun to just sit there as a fan and watch the damn game.
Right. But, that was one of the better college football championship games we've seen. There were some people last night saying it was the best ever. I'm not going to get all crazy.
I already have a list for you that we'll do at some point today.
Okay.
I have my opinion on what the best is. This list happens to share it. I'm pretty sure you have the same one at the top of your list.
Yeah.
And I think most reasonable people do. And it's one of those, we lose sight of this in sports, that when both teams play their ass off and play well enough to win the game, that it doesn't mean that, Alabama was overrated or they choked. And, they weren't so great. No, they were pretty damn good. Clemson was better last night.
Yeah.
And that happens. And I like games like that where teams go out and win it. And Alabama did what it needed to do to take the lead. And then Clemson went down the field and did what it needed to do. I still don't know how that's not offensive pass interference on the winning touchdown.
Yeah. But it seems like they just get – that's it's not just Clemson that gets away with it. Everyone seems to get away with that in college football. And I'm not a fan of it. But, I mean, you're basically just letting guys tackle defensive backs.
That's, yeah. Block him, basically, is what he did. And that's I always thought that was offensive pass interference. But
By rule, that's exactly what it is. But didn't go that way last night. And, again, had I wagered on the game, I would probably have been upset about it.
Yeah.
But because I didn't really care. You know, it made for a good finish.
They wouldn't have covered anyway.
No, but they probably would have gone to overtime.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it would be my guess is that if that falls incomplete, they're kicking a field goal with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, they would have still had 2 seconds because it was 1 second left when they did score.
So I think that I mean I still would have had a dog in the fight.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Then I would have been pissed.
Fair enough.
But as it stood last night, I didn't really care. I didn't care. I don't like Alabama any more than I like Clemson. It didn't really matter to me one way or the other. So I wasn't, like, cheering for anyone. I was just watching the game, and I don't like that play, but it worked out for him a couple times. It worked out for him last night. And, you know, if the refs aren't going to call it, maybe it's on Nick Saban or somebody to go out there and say something to him and make a stink about it and make sure that they do call it the next time it happens. And
Or switch your defense up and get a third guy out there.
That could happen, too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's easier said than done.
Yeah,
I mean, you're defending a goal line play. That it's tough to have a bunch of guys spread out on the outside. But either way, a fantastic game, fun watch, fun finish, and you know, happy for Clemson. Who, by the way, I there were some people who got mad at me today because I was poking a little bit of fun at Dabo Swinney last night because they were interviewing Nick Saban and they said I did a fake interview and I said, Coach Saban, how's it feel to get beat by a guy who can't coach his way out of a paper bag? And he said, well, God just loved Clemson more tonight. And there were people who were defending Dabo Swinney. I think Dabo Swinney's a fine coach. I think that he mismanaged the end of that game so miserably that he's almost lucky that they won. The coaches won, or the players won that last drive, not the coaches. I mean, the coaches did everything they could to fail on that last drive, and the players overcame it. So I was given some grief, you know, and I said that with God on your side and enough pick plays, you know, you can outcoach anybody.
I don't want to speak for, you know, any deities at all, but I don't think Jesus is a fan of the pick play.
Dabo Swinney disagrees.
Then I disagree with Dabo Swinney.
Did it win last night?
It did win last night.
Okay, well, guess. He's
but I guess Jesus hated him last year. Is that the deal?
Yeah, Jesus is kind of this. The offseason was more Clemson heavy.
I think
the prayers were heard more in South Carolina than Alabama. They were more vocal with their prayers, thoughts and prayers, more than likely. And that was enough to get the job done. I had a little bit of debate today on whether or not Clemson is now an elite program. And I started thinking, I was like, well, they've played in back-to-back title games. They won one of them. My final analysis is Clemson has to do something next year without Deshaun Watson to be considered an elite program. The last 2 years, they've been an elite team, obviously. But to be an elite program, you have to go through more than one quarterback, right?
Yeah, but if you go back, as far as championships, no, but you know what they basically have been for the last several years is they were Texas before Mac won one. They're always winning 10 games. They're always in the hunt for the ACC championship. Taj Boyd set a bunch of records there. And, you know, his record as a starter, what, 32-3, something ridiculous like that. I think Deshaun Watson took him to the next level, much as Jameis Winston did Florida State. And I think they'll be good again next year. But I do wonder if they'll be as good because
10 wins next year.
Well, they pretty much do that almost every year. So
they haven't won less than 10 since 2010.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good.
And that year they lost in the Meineke Car Care Bowl to South Florida to finish 6-7.
That's not good.
It's not great.
Yeah, you never want to be in the
Meineke Car Care Bowl. I mean, you're talking about the last 6 years. They've 10, 11, 11, 10, 14, 14. That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah. I would say that's up there with just about anybody not named Alabama.
Yeah.
And, you know, realistically, I would say even during the Tommy Bowden won 9 games a couple of times, and they've never really, they haven't bottomed out since 98, realistically. So, and they did win a title way back in the day.
Yeah, that was like 1981, is that right?
Yeah, think so.
I was 1 year old. That doesn't count.
No, you were born. It counts.
Okay. Well,
it counts. It's in your lifetime.
So I'm torn on whether or not I consider them an elite program yet. But they're, I mean, obviously the last 2 years they've won 28 games. That's pretty elite. They're an elite team over the last 2 years for sure. I feel like, you know, they win 10, 11 games with whoever Deshaun Watson's replacement is next year. That's pretty elite.
Yeah, Dabo's had the 1-6-7 season. He won nine games his first year, and then since then they've been a 10-win team. I think that puts you in that category, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to put him in that category. I don't, you know, I still wouldn't say that they have the cachet of the Ohio States or people like that, but as far as elite programs in college football right now, during that stretch,
conversation, yeah.
You know, you win a national championship, you go to back-to-back championship games and you win one, that puts you in that conversation.
Better football program, I mean, because we're talking about not this year, obviously, but better football program, Clemson or LSU?
I still want to say LSU, but it's damn close.
Okay.
I think that's a fair conversation to have.
Because when you're talking about, like, the merits of a program, what are you looking at, 10, 15 years? Like, the last 10 or 15 years?
Generally, yeah.
Okay.
And I think over a longer term, it's been LSU.
Okay. But I think Clemson's getting into that conversation. Maybe they are elite.
Well, that's the thing. And I still think of LSU as an elite program. Even though
they lost 4 games this year. Yeah. Fired their coach.
But that's the thing. An elite program loses 4 games, they're going to fire their coach.
Unless you're Texas.
Yeah, in which case.
Maybe they're not an elite program anymore.
All right, guys. Got to tell you, you want to save some money? It's real simple. Just go to slashmypayments.com, and you can get your car loan reduced. If your credit is good enough, I'm telling you, you can lower your car payment by $100. They've done so many great things for some of the blitzers already, where you guys have gotten your car payment down, in some cases not have to pay for a couple of months, because car dealers are making their profit on your loan. They mark up your rate, and that's money that should be going to you. That's $2,000 to $3,000 in interest you're paying on your loan that's pure dealer profit. That's why they come back and say, oh, we're going to give you a great deal. It's because they're jacking you around. Well, slashmypayments.com and the great team over at Ignition Financial are going to help you fix that.
Guys, they've cut payments over $150 a month. A month. Imagine $150 every month, what you could do with that if you didn't have to give that to the bank for your car loan because they just want to jack up that interest price on you. All you got to do, have some decent credit, go to slashmypayments.com and see if they can improve on what you've got going. Go to slashmypayments.com and our promo code BLITZ at the top of the application. With approved credit, other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That's slashmypayments.com.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Clemson's a fraud. Clemson's going to get their ears boxed by whoever they play. They should have 3 losses, maybe 4. I don't buy into Clemson. They're the New York Giants of college football. I don't care what their record is. I don't buy into them. And I had Clemson in the Final Four, so I should be rooting for them. I got no dog in the fight here. I think USC is the second best team in the country, and Vegas agrees.
And at the end of the day, we left no doubt tonight. You know, we wanted to play Alabama because now y'all got to change your stories. You got to change the narrative. Y'all got to mix it up. You know, the guy that called us a fraud, ask Alabama if we're a fraud. Was his name Colin Coward? Ask him. I don't never met him. Don't know him. Ask him if we're Alabama if we're a fraud. Ask Ohio State if we're a fraud. Ask Oklahoma if we're a fraud. The only fraud is that guy because he didn't do his homework. I hope y'all print that.
And we're back on the blitz. Was he saying fraud or frog?
I think a frog.
I thought he said a frog. I guess Colin is a frog.
I will say this. I also had my doubts about whether or not Clemson was legit.
They sure put a hole in that when they beat Ohio State, though.
I was going to say, up until they beat Ohio State. And then it's like, you know what? That's a pretty legit team because they lost to Pitt. I hate to say that they got lucky in some of the wins that they had. I don't want it to sound like that, but a lot of the games they played could have gone either way. And that includes the game they had against Auburn. That includes the game they had with Louisville. Includes the game they had against Florida State. Includes the game they had against Virginia Tech at the end of the year for the ACC championship. Ohio State, it couldn't have gone either way. I mean, they dominated that team, and it kind of just made me go, you know what? Maybe they're onto something. And whatever I think of Dabo Swinney, and I don't know where I rank him in terms of college coaches, like how great of a coach I think he is. I think he's done a great job at recruiting and putting together players. Do I think he's like a super great game day coach? Not really, but I felt the same way about Mac Brown.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like that different coaches have different strengths. But at the end of the day, the two guys that I would say are the undisputed best game day coaches, Dabo Swinney just beat them in the playoff.
Yeah.
So he beat Urban Meyer handily, and he beat Nick Saban.
I think Jim Harbaugh's in that conversation too.
I think he is. I think until he wins a title, he's behind those other two.
Right. Those two have a few.
But yeah, I think that he beat the best guys that he could beat. And really, when you throw in, he beat Jimbo Fisher this year, who's another guy who's probably on a lot of people's short list. You know, at the end, once you look at the entire body of work, they lost one game by 1 point, and they beat
Louisville, and Louisville was really good.
Yep, they beat everybody when they were playing really well. Yeah. And hats off to them. I admit when I'm wrong about teams, and I never thought Clemson sucked. But there was definitely a time this year, even after Clemson had beat Louisville, that I said, man, I think Louisville's still better than Clemson.
Yeah, I thought that for a long time.
And then, of course, Louisville showed that, you want to talk about a fraud, who showed to be a fraud was Louisville. Clemson just kept grinding out wins in games that it wasn't pretty what they did often. What they did last night wasn't pretty, but it got the job done, man. And I take my hat off to those guys. It's a well-deserved title.
Apparently, Colin had more to say today in response to Dabo. Do we have that, John?
In the end, you have never punished me for being wrong. You punish me when I'm uninteresting and when I choose topics that you don't give a rip about. So I will continue to have super strong opinions on college football, the NBA, the NFL. And all I can say to Dabo Swinney, you're a hell of a coach. You made college football better. You gave me 4.5 hours. Game was a tad long, but 4.5 hours of great entertainment. And your players showed such great character in the most crucial moments. I couldn't be happier for Clemson. I didn't buy them. I watched them almost lose 7 times. I was watching when North Carolina State could have beat them at Clemson. I didn't see the Troy game. I don't think that was on my local carrier. I'm not sure if Dabo saw much of it. I don't know if it was broadcast in Clemson. But what they did last night was remarkable, great for the sport. They had great dignity, and I can take a punch.
I don't think he can take a literal punch. He's kind of a slight.
No, I'm almost certain he can't take a literal punch. I totally forgot about the North Carolina State game.
Yeah.
It was an overtime game.
Yeah.
They could have easily lost it. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why I didn't think that they would come through last night, but I was wrong. And, you know, I
like being wrong sometimes, though. I thought Alabama was going to stomp a hole in them, and not enough to bet on it. And especially when it started off 14-0, I'm like, oh, this is going to get ugly. But no. And Deshaun Watson played his butt off. His receivers made some fantastic catches in that game. And that's how you win a game like that. You go make those plays. And that's what they did. A couple things from Twitter. Chase says, being a Bama grad, I've avoided sports all day. Can we just pretend nothing happened yesterday? Well, we're not going to do the whole show on it, so there's that. Frobia says, big benefit of the playoffs, teams not battling a month of rust going into the championship game.
That's true.
I think that helps quite a bit. I think that's a good point because these guys got in a game last week. And I think it's I found it to be a really well-played, entertaining game. Now, as far as best of all time, the one thing I would say separates this one a little bit is I don't think the whole game was good. And maybe I'm just old, but I sure thought that whole Texas-USC game was good from start to finish. And that's always going to be...
Well, I mean, that was back and forth and back and forth. I mean, that was a...
Right.
I still think...
Although this was back and forth also, but mostly late, which
right.
is what people are going to remember.
I don't know where I rank it all time. I know it's behind Texas-USC in my book, and I tend to put it behind... And I don't know about historically. Like I'm talking about like since I've been old enough to pay attention.
Since the BCS era where we started playing championship okay. games, I think is a fair way to do it.
Even though I think it was a garbage finish, the Ohio State-Miami game in...
I agree.
I don't know what year, 2003. That was... that because up until that Vince Young game, that's what I considered to be the best college football game or best college football championship game. And I'd probably put this one behind that, but it's better than last year because I tweeted last night, this is the best national championship game I've seen in a while. And a couple people were like, yeah, since like last year.
Last year's was pretty good too.
Last year's was decent, but it was never in doubt. Alabama was up 12 with 1 minute left. There was no drama. I mean, yeah. there's no 12-point play that they could have come up with to win that thing. They lost by five because they scored a touchdown with a minute left or 30 seconds left, whatever it was, and that was the end of the game. Last night had drama. I mean, that's down-to-the-wire drama. That's different than a five-point game that was 12 points with 1 minute to go.
All right, well, here's how Sports on Earth has it, and I agree with number one. They've got the 2006 Rose Bowl, Texas over USC.
Okay.
They have this one number two, and like, okay. And then they have the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State-Miami three. I would have that one too. The Florida State Auburn game, they have number four. That was a pretty damn good game too. I think that's where this one starts slotting in my opinion.
Okay.
The Auburn Oregon game in 2011, that one was pretty good. That one also came down to the wire. And,
Cam Newton, right?
Yeah. It's a Cam Newton game. Number six, they have last year's game.
Okay.
But that's it. That's the top six that they ranked.
Okay.
So I think this slots in there. And maybe it's just being in Texas also. But that you had two undefeated teams. You had this USC team that was supposed to be unbeatable. You had the best player on the field and Vince Young on a field full of guys who were going to the NFL.
Right.
And just the whole drama of it and the way it came down. And even at the very end, people forget this. After Vince scored the touchdown, Reggie Bush got loose on the sidelines and damn near took it the distance to win the game on the last play.
That wasn't like a walk-in game over type play.
Yeah, no, and people forget that because they remember the moment of Vince. But that was like there was a brief second where Bush gets free on the sideline and you're like, holy bleep. That would have sucked. But
there were also Deshaun Watson, Vince Young comparisons last night, which let's just stop. Yeah.
I think in the end, you look at their numbers, in terms of wins and things like that, they're going to wind up being pretty close. I think Watson's a different kind of player. He's not the runner Vince is. There's very few guys that have been the runner that Vince Young was.
And you like the NFL prospects of Deshaun Watson.
I do. But I think as college players, to me, it's not a comparison.
No, I'm with you. I think if you want to have a conversation about college quarterbacks better than Vince Young, if you don't bring Tim Tebow's name to the table, I don't think you're going to get far in a discussion with me.
Although I think you look at body of work, man. Deshaun Watson's put himself in that conversation. I still think it's Vince, but he's put himself in that conversation. All right, guys.
Well, it's also a matter of seeing guys carry their teams, and constantly carry their teams. And Vince Young, as good as that defense was, and he had some decent players around him, he still carried that team. It, like, anytime there was a big play that had to happen, you know who was going to do it. You know, it wasn't going to be, he wasn't going to be handing the ball off.
All right. Got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And so happy that they're back with us. And the Blitzers have really stepped up and donated their vehicles. And everybody who's done it has told me how easy it was and how it worked for them, too. Because in a lot of cases, they were getting rid of something that they weren't using anymore. And it can be a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV. And it can be a hassle to go sell these things. And it can also be a hassle to have to deal with it. Well, this isn't a hassle. They're going to come tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork, and your donation is going to be tax deductible. And it doesn't matter where you are. You can be over in Vidor. You can be up in Nacogdoches. You can be over in San Marcos. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. And it's so fast and easy. All you have to do basically is sign and boom, gone, done, and you get that tax deduction. And that money goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies, which is a terrific place that takes in kids who have dropped out of other schools, gives them a second chance. And so many of them go out and do something great with it and graduate. And they would have never had that opportunity without Houston Can Academies, and never would have had it without your donations. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, guys, got to remind you that it's time to pick a superhero or supervillain athlete. All you have to do is tweet at Degenerates975. What their superpower was, who they were, what their superpower was, or made them a hero or a villain. Jong will pick a winner, and just tag Bedrock City Comics, but has to be tweeted to Degenerates975. Pick your superhero or supervillain. And joining us now, as he usually does on Monday, but we were out yesterday, is our own superhero, Stanford Rout. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Disco Biscuit said this on Twitter. It's annoying whenever people say every good game is the best game. I hate that. That has become something that that always seems to happen. Oh, is this the best ever? Was this the best ever? We have already talked about it. We don't think it's the best ever. Where would you rank this one in college football games?
I'd put it up there, but I don't know if I'd put it the best ever. I still like the Ohio State-Miami game back in, I think it was the 2003. Yeah, 2003 season. Yeah. 2003. Vince Young versus USC. David and Goliath, I love that one. So I put this one up there, but it wouldn't be my top two.
I don't know if that was David and Goliath. I think that was Goliath and a smaller Goliath.
But. I mean, but you know, USC had the three-headed monster. I mean,
they were considered the greatest football team ever.
They were, but
Leiner, Reggie Bush.
AJ covered that team all year long. Texas was one of the most dominant teams all season long, with the exception of that Kansas game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but, they were just destroying people.
Yeah, but you know how everybody in the media wanted to build up USC. Like, yeah. They were just unstoppable. Like, can UT actually come within 10 points of USC in this national championship game?
It was the greatest team of all time versus probably the greatest quarterback that's played college football, at least in recent history. And so, it just made for a sexy matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this had quite the same – it didn't have the same sex appeal going in because, I mean
– although most of us thought Alabama was unbeatable, but yeah, I don't think we put them on that
true.
Level.
But, like, it's different because – the USC had movie stars on their team. You know, they had guys that were like on TMZ.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, Joe, college football fan who doesn't follow it really closely, couldn't name a player on Alabama's offense. I mean, they don't have a big time star quarterback. They don't have these dynamic wide receivers. They damn sure don't have a Reggie Bush. And the best running back they had was in the injury tent most of the night. It's a different feeling type of team and a different feeling type of game.
Yeah, they don't mind winning ugly. They don't mind winning by just defense and in the trenches. They don't got to win pretty. Like, USC was Matt Leiner, all the passes. Yeah. Reggie Bush wasn't even the true running back on that team. It was Lindell White.
Yeah, and that that USC-Texas game basically made up the entire 2016 NFL draft also, which was a...
It really did. I mean, it really did.
You go back and look at all those guys. I think, like, Texas, four out of
the
their...
entire secondary.
Four out of their five offensive linemen. Yeah, in the entire secondary, all had, like, legitimate NFL careers, not cup of coffee.
Aaron
like, they
Ross,
were all
Cedric
studs.
Griffin, Michael Griffin.
Michael Huff.
Michael yeah. Huff, so, Terrell Brown.
Yeah. Their fifth guy had a legit NFL career. So, yes. I mean, and obviously that USC team, you know, their entire linebacking core made it, including a guy who's playing down here on Kirby and Brian Cushing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a special game because there was so much next level talent and so much celebrity involved with it.
It was
Clay Matthews and the middle linebackers playing for the big
Ray Maluga.
Yeah, and that team was just silly. Let's talk about Texans a little bit because
let's go to it.
Before the season, somebody predicted that you were that your Texans were going to be playing here at NRG Stadium in the Super Bowl,
and now they're 2 wins away.
They're 2 wins away. Unfortunately, there's a pretty big obstacle in the way this week. You give me one reason to think that they have any chance.
They got the number one defense in the league.
Okay, and.
They have the number one. Do they not have the number one defense in the NFL?
They do.
Right
they
now?
Have. They have. That's the same defense that traveled up to New England in week two.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: they may have the number one defense in yards, but do you think they have the best defense in the NFL?
No, I don't.
Okay, so I just checked off one box. You got anything else?
Okay, I got a big one right here. I remember back in high school, there's this movie that came out. Jamie Foxx was one of the stars in it. LL Cool J, Lawrence Taylor. Y'all remember the name of it, right?
No.
Y'all don't remember? You don't remember the name of the Sharks? That was the name of the football team.
Oh, every any given Sunday.
There you go.
Okay.
Don't they play Saturday?
Any given Saturday. Come on.
Same thing. Yeah.
Same thing. No.
Yeah, they got to get that game out of the way. They're not trying to prime time that bad boy.
No, trust me, man. It's definitely a steep hill to climb. Tom Brady's playing lights out right now. New England's got a very good defense when it comes down to just points given up, and you got Bill Belichick. He's damn near unbeatable. But one thing he's beatable because New England has not won 16 titles in a row. They've won four. They've lost another two to the Giants. So the Patriots are beatable. Do I think that the Houston Texans will go up there and beat them? I'm not going to go that far, but they're beatable.
Go on. Do it.
Do what?
Go that far. Say they're going to win.
No, I'm not going to.
We're going to make funny anyway. It doesn't matter.
Hey, I thought Alabama was going to beat Clemson last night by 10 or more, and clearly I was wrong. I'm saying that I think that I give Houston a fighter's chance in this game against New England.
Right, I just think it's very difficult, and no matter how good your defense is, and the Texans do have a great defense. I don't know if it's the best in the league.
No, it's not.
It's in the conversation.
I think they're in the conversation, yeah.
But when you are that much of a negative at quarterback, it's almost impossible to beat a great team. The Patriots are top five in defense, top five in offense. The Texans are top five in defense, bottom five in offense. I mean, there's one glaring hole in this game.
Yes, a big hole. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to sit up here and be naive and act like this is just a regular game that they got Saturday night. But I want to say that it is possible. Things do happen crazy in this league. Teams get beat. There are teams that you think it's a lock for them to win, and they go home early just like everybody else is. So I wouldn't go that far to say it's just a lock. But yes, it's the pendulum is swinging very, very strong in the Patriots' favor this week.
Threw this out yesterday. The combined score from the Texans' last four trips.
I saw that. I saw that stat.
Yeah, 150-49. So, I think going into this, we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Quentin Dimps. It's kind of you're going to have to play the kind of game that the Broncos played against them last year, which means you have to sack Brady four times. It means you have to pick him off twice.
You got to control the clock too.
Yeah, and you've got to go out there and run the football, and you've got to make sure that he's harassed and making some mistakes. And there have been teams that have been able to do that in the past. The Ravens have done it to him. Ravens have historically.
Yeah,
done
the Ravens
it to
have
him.
Always played the Patriots tough.
The Broncos did it to him last year. I don't know if there's enough on the other side of the ball for the Texans to be able to pull that off. And if they get off to a slow start again, and I just think this Patriots, Belichick in particular, knows everything that Bill O'Brien's going to try.
Yeah, because everybody damn near on the coaching staff came from New England. And I was just watching that earlier today on one of the TV shows. I forget which one it was. But the thing is that a lot of people make bones about everybody on the Texans, like if anybody knows Bill Belichick and knows the insight to him and Brady and how they do things up there, it's these guys. Absolutely. But the one thing that I've always believed is that I believe Bill Belichick makes his coaches, because a bevy of his coaches leave to go other places and they never really do anything else under without being under his wing. So as far as Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, Vrabel, and everybody else down the line, I just think that Bill Belichick makes his coaches, and whenever they leave his wing, whenever they leave his tutelage, I believe they're just like a fish out of water.
So Bill O'Brien's a fish out of water.
I'm saying when it comes to him going against Bill Belichick, I think him being there in New England, being up under him, I don't think that holds any water into how to beat Belichick.
Which of the other games are you most interested in this week? Because both those NFC games are terrific. The other AFC game looks like a great matchup. Which one game are you looking forward to the most besides this one?
Packers-Cowboys.
How do you think that's going to go?
I think that's going to go somewhat like how it went 2 days ago. That's how I think it's going to go. Because when the Packers played the Cowboys earlier on in the season, the Packers were slumping. They didn't know. It seemed like they didn't know what they were doing. Aaron Rodgers was a little off. It seemed like they hadn't figured things out yet. And now, the Cowboy fans, you know, Cowboy Nation, everybody's thinking they're going to go to the Super Bowl. They don't have to leave the state for the rest of the season. And everybody's on that Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott train. Yeah, those are some very good players. There's no doubt about that. But now, they're getting that AR-12 when he's red hot. That's the difference going into this week. And seeing the way the Packers have played the past 7-8 games, I really want to see those Cowboys against these Packers.
All right. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend of NFL, and college football's over. This is where I start getting depressed, because we don't have many games left. Yeah. We really don't. You know, we got four this weekend.
Hey, you
got
to cherish them.
Yeah.
Just like Saturday night, 7:15, Patriots and Texans. You got to cherish that game, man.
It's the last time you're going to see the Texans until next year.
You guys have no faith.
No. I don't.
No, I don't.
No, I really don't.
I've seen, and I probably have watched.
Faith will only get you so far, man.
I probably watch the Patriots as much as I've watched the Texans this year, and when they miss a pass, it goes off a guy's hands. Every play is always close to working. They're just a machine. Sometimes when the Texans get a good positive play, it looks like a mistake. It really does. And I think they'll go in there, and if they get behind early, then you'll be able to stop watching.
Let me ask y'all this. What if the final score is 27-20 Patriots? What do you guys think about the Texans if they lose by a touchdown or less?
I think they went home. And I mean, what is moral victories?
What's your impression of the team going to be? Will it change the way you view the team in any way?
Depends on how they get those 20 points.
Yeah.
I mean, if 14 of them, everyone was like excited about the offense last week because they scored some points, but Jadeveon Clowney got an interception that left them inside the five. I mean, they had some big plays, and they were playing
against a third string quarterback.
Against a third string quarterback with great field position all day for the offense. I mean, obviously, if you put up 20 points on that Patriots team with this offense, something good had to happen. If it's something good from the offense, you know, maybe you're a little hopeful. I think that's kind of the downer of this whole thing is you realize that this is pretty much the same team you're going to have next year. Yeah. Like, you're not going to have some great savior
without
at quarterback.
Without A.J. Boyer.
Yeah, probably. And maybe without Quentin Dimps.
Yeah.
You know, they got to decide who they're going
to
pay.
They got to put some respect on his name.
You know, they're probably going to have to pay Clowney. They're probably going to have to pay Hopkins. They got to figure a lot of things out.
All right. Before we go, John, who was our superhero or supervillain of the week?
This is your superhero performance of the week, presented by Bedrock City Comics.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Second and five. Watson out of the gun. Ray McLeod goes in motion to the right. Design run by Watson to the left. Has blockers out in front. Inside the five. Touchdown. Watson gesturing to his left. Lifts his knee. Takes the snap. Straight back to pass. And it's well blocked. And it's a throw to Renfro over the middle. Wide open. Down the numbers and into the end zone for a touchdown. Here comes a five-man rush. Here comes a fade, far corner. Williams open, touchdown. Setting up to be one of the great finishes in college football history, no matter how this ends. First and goal from the two. Watson rolls to the right. Watson throws for a touchdown! In the right flat, Hunter Renfrow scores with 1 second to go for the Clemson Tigers.
That was your superhero performance of the week, presented by Bedrock City Comics.
Follow Bedrock City Comics on Twitter, at Bedrock City.
I could do this all day.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Tuesday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all-you-can-eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. Get your tickets starting at just $125. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. Boy, that's going to be a fun week. That's going to be a fun party. So you want to get locked up for that. I was just looking at who all the Texans might have to deal with next year, and that's probably a conversation better for next week after the season's over.
Right.
But
come on.
I'm sorry. I'm with you.
I'd love to
sit here and blow smoke up people's butt and say, yeah, if they go out there and do this and this and this, I think they have a chance. I believe they could play their best game of the season, and it won't matter.
I think the reality is most Texans fans are kind of accepting of it too. I don't think they're acting like it's all crazy. They've got a real shot. I think they're just kind of.
I'd love to see them go up there and not get blown out. You know, but I don't want to see one of those games where it's over at halftime. That's just boring. Let's try Ron. What's up, Ron?
Oh, I have a quick question for you. At the end of the game last night, they only took 3 seconds off on that play for the pass interference. Had that play been five, they would have had to kick the field goal. There's no way that was 3 seconds. I want to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I also, the pass interference call itself, I don't know that I'm calling that either because it looked like he kind of took a dive there. But, maybe it's because I didn't bet on it that those things just didn't bother me. Like, I just didn't really care.
Yeah.
Because I had zero interest in the outcome other than wanted to see a good game.
And we did.
Yeah. You could make an argument that not enough time came off the clock there for sure. Yeah. And then they are forced to kick a field goal. And honestly, you know, I'm sure television was hoping that would be the case, even though, God, that broadcast was so long already.
Yeah, that was.
But they've got to figure out ways to shorten college football games. They really do.
I mean,
I understand you. It's your championship. You got to get your commercials in. I get it. Halftime has got to be shortened. I know people love. I guess
just
people
do what
love
the NFL well
bands.
No, they don't.
I don't think anyone does. I mean, do away with it. No one's going to be sad if you do away with the bands, except the kids who play in the bands, and no one cares about
and
them.
And they're not showing those on TV anyway.
No.
This is a made-for-TV event, and you need to go to the NFL halftime where you know exactly how long it is.
You got 15 minutes,
except
guys.
For the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that was getting just interminably long.
And I don't. Maybe they need to stop with the do away with stopping the clock on first downs. Yeah, I don't know. They've got to figure out a way to make these games shorter, though. It's too long. I mean, that game was almost 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Chase the Bama fan. My top national championship games, Bama Notre Dame, Bama LSU, Bama Clemson, 15, Bama UT, Bama Penn State, all the others suck.
Yeah, that's fair.
that's a good list, Chase. All right. Hey, guys, got to tell you about Saloon Door Brewing. And we were down there last week, had a great time. It's such a terrific place. And the people down there are fantastic. They've got great food. They've got fantastic beer. And if you live in Webster, this needs to be your hangout, man, because they've got so many fantastic beer flavors. They're trying new things all the time and trying new seasonal flavors. I enjoyed that peanut butter and chocolate milk stout. They've got several great stouts to choose from, which I really like, and this time of year, except for today where it's 80 degrees again, those are fantastic. And we love getting down there. Wednesday night, they have trivia night. Thursdays, they have brews and bites from 4 to 9, where they have food pairings with the beers and catering by Missy Meals. Two great projector screens where you can watch your sports. It's just a fantastic place to go and hang out. And I love what they've done with that place, and you're going to love it too. If you're in the area, go check them out. It's 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster. It's really easy to find. It's right behind the Cinemark and Cheddar's off I-45 South. And if you tell them I sent you at checkout, you're going to get $9.75 off your tab of $35 or more. Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, Texas. Fantastic place. Check them out, saloondoorbrewing.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.